Welcome to the Dashboard Effect Podcast. I'm Brick Thompson.
And I'm Caleb Oakes.
Hey, Caleb.
Hey, Brick.
Long time no talk.
No kidding.
We're recording three of these today, so it's actually been about 2 minutes. So what are we talking about in this episode, Caleb?
So we frequently get asked by all types of people, why do you guys use Power BI?
Yeah, I know. And it's a reasonable question. I mean, Power BI is kind of the new kid on the block of the bigger systems. You know, Tableau, Qlik, systems like that were the ones that were really sort of owning the space in the same area as Power BI. And then Power BI came in, and all of a sudden it's just become sort of the what's the saying? The 600-pound gorilla?
Yeah, something like that. Tableau was, I think they were founded in 2002.
Yeah.
And Power BI didn't come out till 14?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
I think it was, about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I know you've got a number one reason. tell me about that.
The number one reason, we could have left it till the end, but let's go hot out the gate.
So... Did I just mess up here?
No, I didn't have any agenda. So the biggest thing that I tell people is that it's the lowest barrier to entry, right?
Is that just in terms of cost, or are you talking about just in terms of ease of use? How are you thinking about that?
It really, in terms of cost, is the primary thing. So when somebody's getting started with BI or maybe thinking about taking on a BI initiative, the cost is a big thing, right?
Yeah.
And especially with the people that we work with, primarily in the middle market, they don't have a ton of excess capital to just toss around. So they typically want to start with something smaller to kind of prove things out and make sure that the value is actually there. Power BI allows you to do that. You don't have to stand up any fancy servers. You don't need to bite off big licensing fees. It's $10 per user per month.
Yeah, yeah. And it's July of 2022 right now, but it's been that same cost, I think, since it launched.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's gone up at all. And in fact, tons of stuff has been added, so you get a lot more value.
Yeah, yeah, so much. Yeah, and a lot of companies, when they want to bring BI in, they don't want to just have two or three Power BI users who are then sending out reports to everybody. They'd like everybody to have access to reports, and that $10 a month makes it a low barrier to entry.
And there's other prices too, right? They've got the $20 per month premium per user license, and they've got premium capacity starting at $5,000 a month, and there's a whole embedded SKUs there that they have that are different prices. So there's a lot of different licensing, but what we found is that $10 per user per month does just about anything you might need. There are cases where you're going to want premium, and you'll find those as you go. But to get started, $10 per user per month.
Yeah. Okay. So initially you said it was just lowest barrier to entry. Cost is a big piece of that, but I think there's more to it, right?
Yeah, a lot more to it.
I mean, it's a Microsoft product, so it's got an office-like interface, works well with the Azure cloud, works well, really well with SQL Server and all of the Microsoft products that so many companies use.
Right. And that Office 365 that's it. You know, you already have Office 365 licenses, at least most companies do. Obviously there are exceptions, but most companies we work with do, because we're a Microsoft shop.
Right.
So they've already got Office 365. It's a simple add-on to your licensing that you already have. And then you're up and running. I mean, it's just so simple.
Yeah, true. I think some people might get the impression then that, you have to be a Microsoft shop to use Power BI. That's definitely not true. I mean, Power BI can connect to other databases, other data sources. But it does work best when it's paired with Microsoft, specifically the Azure cloud.
Yeah, yeah. And really what we're talking about is just the how easy it integrates with everything else. Power BI is an extremely versatile tool that'll be able to connect to anything, you know, just about. I mean, I guess theoretically anything. You can write your own custom connections and stuff. And there's all kinds of options you have. But yeah, really that ease of use is a big thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And in fact, even, I'm a pretty technical executive. I'm nothing like you or your team on the delivery team, but I can throw together proof of concept reports really quickly in Power BI.
Right. It makes it super easy. And one of our biggest things is adoption of reports, right? If you're going to build a report, you want people to use it. So you want it to be really easy and familiar and not, let's get rid of all the barriers that we can for adoption.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. So I think you also said along the way, it's the best. Why do you think it's the best?
So Power BI wasn't always the best.
No, I'll start there. No, definitely not.
So let's see. So I came over from a big, big company, and I worked with ClickView, and now known as Click. And we, you know, I got pretty good with that, and I was very comfortable with that tool. And when I moved over to—
He's being modest.
Well, I don't know. Those were early reports. I don't even want to look at them anymore. But so when I moved over to Blue Margin, I had to learn Power BI, and I got to say it was pretty frustrating at first.
Yeah. I mean, those early versions were rough. I mean, they worked, but they were sort of minimum viable products.
Yeah. Yeah. So with ClickView, when I was developing in there, there's a sky's the limit on things you can customize and, you know, the navigation and the UI, and you had all kinds of options. And then Power BI, that was back in 2016 when I made the jump. It was so immature. It just felt like you were just tied so far down. And eventually, you know, as the years went on, Microsoft, to their credit, they invested a lot into the Power Stack, Power BI being the primary one.
Well, and it was amazing because I remember Power BI coming out and sort of being a little bit disappointed because I was looking forward to it. But then they had a release cadence that was monthly. I mean, on the dot for several years, they didn't miss a monthly release.
And still doing it.
Yeah, I know. I think they've had a couple of missed months, but mostly every month. Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong about that. But the additions each month were significant. It was sort of like getting a present every month for someone who's building reports. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember we had a ticket, or not a ticket. There was a place you can vote for features,
right,
to be in the release. Right. And we had this, what seemed like such an easy thing to do, putting little KPIs in your tables and stuff.
Right.
Little green check marks in line in your tables. You can do that in Excel. Ever since I've used Excel, you should do that. And I remember just month after month would go by. I was like, nope, nope, nope. Good news is it's there now.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. And we did some crazy workarounds to deal with some of that stuff.
Yeah. Created a Power Pivot model in Excel first, and then we moved it over into Power BI with the migration, and that worked. And
anyway. I guess I'm not close enough to your team now to know, but do we have crazy workarounds we do now, or have they solved all of those?
Most of the things that we've had to solve with crazy workarounds have gone. Not to say that there's not still some edge cases where we need to do some interesting stuff, but
for sure,
for the usual suspects have all been solved.
Yeah. Okay. Let me put you on the spot. Can you think of any recent improvements that have really blown your mind?
Well, so the Microsoft conference was just a few months ago, and they released this thing they called Data Marts. We touched on it a little bit in an earlier episode. That looks like a game changer. I mean, it's really cool. So what it allows you to do is you can take a model that's in Power BI. So you've got some data up there, and you can tell Power BI to spin up another database in Azure that would house the data model's data, and then you can do additional transformations on it.
Okay.
So it takes the processing load off of, let's say you've got a giant complex, really, really slow, or I don't know, you got a data warehouse, it's not great. We don't build those, by the way.
Right.
But you can take your model and you can create this data mart and then do some additional things to it from there. So it kind of opens the door for additional data processing that you wouldn't have to, let's say you work in a big company, you wouldn't have to go to the data warehouse team to fix or to add or to do something like that. So gives you a little bit more control. It's a really cool tool that I'm sure we'll be using for some of our clients.
And those data marts exist in the Power BI cloud. Is that right?
Right. I'm sure it spins up in Azure SQL Database. I haven't looked at the technical stuff. It's still in preview, so the team's looking at it, but it looks exciting.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like a good one. So I think one of the things one of us said early on in this discussion was you're best if you're with Power BI, if you're pairing with Azure, Microsoft's cloud. What if your data warehouse is sitting on AWS or Google Cloud?
So as with everything in IT, depends.
Yeah.
So let's say that your data warehouse is in AWS and it's sitting on a Windows machine on SQL Server. Power BI will still work pretty well with that.
Yeah.
You do lose some of the benefits of having like an Azure SQL database or Azure Synapse in Azure with that. So for example, you would have to take your machine and join it to your AD or something if you wanted to have that single sign-on type experience or use Windows authentication. So you don't get quite the seamlessness of it. But let's say that your data is in Amazon and it's on Redshift or it's in BigQuery or something on Google. Power BI will still work with that and it will work pretty well with it. But then the case just becomes not quite as clear. So if let's say your company has a ton of money to spend on this and somebody really loves Tableau and you're using BigQuery, sure, why not? But you know, what we typically find is that people still want that lower barrier. They don't want to bite off a bunch for Tableau licenses or servers or things like that. And they'll still use Power BI to connect to Google BigQuery or Redshift or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that comes up a lot in BI is self-serve BI, self-service, allowing the business user to be able to create their own reports. I remember early in my career, early 90s, when everybody was excited that, oh, business people can use SQL to do their own queries and create their own reports. Yeah. It's going to be self-service. And most business executives did not adopt that. It actually never materialized. And I think we've seen not the same, but a similar dynamic with Power BI, where I think that we're all hoping that it gets to a point where it's easy self-service. The reality is that it's a great tool for all business users to use to be able to view reports and to slice them and cross-filter and do all that cool stuff. And it's very easy then to edit and change a report and get it the way you want. But I'm not seeing business executives do that very much.
Well, here's the thing about business executives.
Why are you looking at me like
they're not very patient.
No.
And for good reason, right? They don't want to have to spend their time doing that. And so just this morning, this is just a fresh example. I was playing around with Power BI's Q&A feature and I was trying to put something together that was kind of cool. And the thing just would not get my question right. I typed in my question and it seemed very straightforward and it was giving me the wrong result.
What was your question?
It was, I wanted to know how many deals were in at each stage.
Okay.
For example, for like a CRM.
Yeah.
And it kept bringing back activities.
Okay.
And it wouldn't give me the count of deals. It gave me the deals and how many activities were against each deal. And I just gave up. I was like, yeah, it's not even worth getting this thing right. So
I'm shocked to hear you gave up.
Yeah, I mean, I could have kept going, but I was like, I'm just not even going to use this.
So you just went ahead and coded the measure yourself and got the number you wanted.
Right. So you know, you're just impatience, right? So
yeah.
that's the problem with self-service, in my opinion, is that while you can do some stuff, you're going to hit your limit on like how much you want to keep learning about this thing to do everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't matter what the tool is.
Right.
It can be as simple as typing in a question. If you don't get the right result, you're not going to sit there and troubleshoot it.
Only takes you once or twice of that. Yeah. So in your view, this is not really a knock on Power BI, but rather just the idea of self-service BI is maybe not quite there yet in terms of the tools.
I think so. And, you know, that's my opinion. And I think it really depends on your company as well. Like if you have analysts sitting in your departments and they're sitting there cranking out reports and they have the time to learn the tool and that type of thing. But then could you argue that that's not really self-service at that point?
Yeah. Right?
Then you just have a developer building your reports again.
Right.
So if you're thinking of self-service as you want the departments to build their own stuff, sure. that's there.
Yeah.
That's right. Been there with SQL. That's
Get
been
business
there
analysts.
With Excel, right? That's all over the place.
Yeah.
But to have to really think that your executives and your business users that don't do this are going to pick it up and be able to run with it. I think we're still a ways out.
Yeah. And I want to be clear, what we're talking about here is actual development of reports. The executives, at least our customers, we have hundreds of them that use the reports every day and use Power BI extensively.
Right. You build a good report, you can give the business user, you can answer every question they have.
Right. Because you put all sorts of filters and slicers and cross filters
and it's nice and intuitive.
Drill throughs.
Yeah. It's enjoyable for them. They're getting their answers. The data is right there. It's presented the right way. They don't have to choose the right chart, for example. It's just there.
Yeah.
Right. So that speaks to effective report design, which is often overlooked. And maybe we'll have an episode about that.
I'm sure we will. All right. So our topic today has been why Power BI. I'll just put you on the spot. If money is no object, and you said a lot of nice things about Qlik, would you go Qlik, Tableau, Power BI?
No. I would go Power BI.
Power BI.
I would not go Qlik. I would not go Tableau. Power BI all day. Power BI premium.
Okay. I think that sums it up nicely. All right. Well, I think that's about it. Thank you, Caleb. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Brick.
All right. Talk to you soon.